and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 441. My name's James Gilmore. Joining me today, once again, it is Rick Cowley.
Hello.
And also Emily Soden.
What's up, my boys?
We've just been discussing how Em is gradually turning into a... not a cannibal. a consumer of cats. Why are you eating your cat, Em?
I'm not. I'm eating a bloody ferret everywhere.
Just have a vacuum.
I do.
Get one of those little roller thingies with the sticky roller.
I have four of them.
Roll it all over your tongue.
Four of those. I've got a lint brush thing, which I use for like really, really tough fabrics. I have two combs, one rubber pet brush thing.
Have you considered shaving your cat?
I have not, but my boyfriend is getting to the point. You know, just go away for a weekend. I swear to God, the cat will be fine.
Comes back and you've got this one of those Egyptian Manx ones sitting there looking. They look so sad sometimes.
Hairless.
My mate's got one actually with those incredibly short hair little kitty cats, and they look like the alien from Alien 3.
Mm.
Because they've got a tiny... and all cats look like this, you know, because the tails are all fluffy. When you take the fluff off, it's basically just like a bone coated in skin.
Yeah.
That curls up. And it looks like the proper, like, dog alien or the wild boar beast ox alien, depending on which cut you watch, of Alien 3.
Welcome to the Cat Podcast.
Yes. Pocket Gamer Cat Cast. My name is Fluffy James Gilmore. Joining me today is Fuzzy Wuzzy Rick Cowley and Snowy. Because they always call a cat Snowy, don't they?
Yeah.
Rubbish. No, games. Where are we? It's April the 4th. Is it April? May?
May.
May the 4th be with you.
Yes, that's right. Star Wars. Everybody go and hug a Cylon and beam me up. And, sci-fi. So yes, we're going to be covering a few Star Wars Day sales and things that are going on at the minute in celebration. We're going to be talking about Season 4 of Fortnite. It's been... announced, in fact, it's actually here, and how it affects your mobile version of the game. We're going to talk about Nintendo's internal staff meeting, which on the surface doesn't sound very exciting, but they've been talking about their mobile department and how maybe it's not quite performing the way they want it to, plus lawsuits from Game Vice. Again, will they take the Switch off the market? Also, new releases including the likes of Dungeon Hunter Champions, Axe.io, Lazaretto, and more. But first, it's the news. With Battle Royales literally everywhere at the minute, and about 1,000 of them available on mobile, we've seen the arrival of both PUBG and Fortnite properly kick in on your phones. Now, we've got Fortnite Season 4, which is, I think, already here now. They've been teasing it for a while, but it's now actually live. As the resident Fortniteist, Em, what's the deal with these seasons? I thought this was like a multiplayer game. Like, what changes? What are these? Is there a story? What's going on?
Each season kind of brings something new to it, and it resets your levels.
Oh.
So, like, if you were level 70, something like that, like, as soon as you start a new season, you're set back to level 1.
Okay.
So it gives you a chance to sort of build your way up the board again. But you've got right. All of the benefits from your previous season, but now you just go back to the beginning, essentially.
Okay, so there are perks you carry over.
Yeah.
Sweet. And the changes we're talking about, is it new maps or changes to the old maps? Like, what's the differences?
Or it's changes to the old maps. They said, you know, Epic have said they're working on new maps, which I knew they would be.
Mm-hmm.
But the old map has had a bit of a tweak. There's a mansion with a secret room.
Ooh.
There's a new place which has popped up on the top right-hand side of the map, which was originally fairly desolate.
The Risky Reels.
Yep, the Risky Reels, which is actually a movie theatre, that kind of one you see from the intro, which is kind of cool.
All right.
And Dusty Depot is now Dusty Divot.
Because it's been smashed up by something?
It's been smashed up by a meteor.
Oh, man.
I know, but it is cool because if you go around the place and you pick up those little glowing stones that are around it,
mm-hmm.
You get, like, zero gravity stuff.
So you can just float around the map?
Yeah, so you can jump and you fall really slowly. So actually, if you climb your way up, say you're doing, like, a sky bridge or something, and you have some of these... You probably wouldn't make it up there with the stones, but if you fell down, you wouldn't die.
Okay, I see. So this is all available for mobile. We've got a few tweaks and fixes as well. So the quick bar there supports drag and drop, so you can just pull your inventory items around with your fingers, which sounds a lot more convenient than what it was before. And there's now a repair building and a cycle weapon button, which also wasn't there. It's not a surprise we're seeing some quite sort of substantial changes to the layout in the early days of this. Because with these massively multiplayer games, the test bed is so huge as soon as you go live on week one. The sheer volume of feedback they get must be immense.
Also, the controls are still absolute pants.
Oh, really? You still don't like them?
I still don't like them. Sorry. Like, because I play it on the PC and stuff, the mobile one just feels so janky.
Okay, okay.
Like, in comparison, I mean. There's still a lot of stuff that they need to do, like building. Actually, it's not even the running or the build or the fighting side of it. It's the building. Because you have to be so quick when you build. The mobile thing still doesn't quite get it.
Right. So you
it's
can't
really
react.
Hard to try and... No, because you have to swipe on the screen to move, to, like, look around and stuff. And, of course, if you're trying to build yourself a box really quickly, you kind of just have to build half of it and then build the other half when you can get in.
Yeah, it's always that problem where you've got, really, unless you try to hold the phone in a really awkward way and you have multi-touch and you can put two fingers over the top or something on each hand, you're just using your thumbs, so you're reducing everything to two inputs maximum. Whereas on a PC or a controller, you're using all your fingers, and it makes a huge difference. Always a problem, but you can go and play it for free and have a bash if you want. As you mentioned, it is Star Wars Day today, so all the Star Wars games have got little things that have been added to them. So Star Wars Force Arena, you get an additional character, the free 40th anniversary character, and you get discounts on character packs and stuff like that. You've got Galaxy of Heroes, which is getting, like, because the Solo movie is coming out really soon, you get free shards with the Han Solo character and a bunch of other stuff. But just look at anything Star Wars, and I'm sure there'll be offers available. Now, Nintendo had a big old chat. They had their financial briefing from the president, Tatsumi Kimishima. And they released the briefing. It's kind of a big old document. A very, like, sweet and simple, positive PowerPoint-style presentation, which says, "We've been doing very well, thank you." Which is what all these documents have to say. So you kind of need to read between the lines to see, you know, where they're struggling and look at what charts they show versus what charts they could be showing that might show things are going down. No real surprises in terms of the Switch. Obviously, the Switch is doing very well and continues to do very well, so that's great. Little mention about 3DS, which is that they are going to continue to support it, to quote them. That's what they say they're going to do well into 2018, because people were a bit worried that they might just focus on Switch entirely and ignore the 3DS. How long do we think the 3DS has got left? Do you think they will continue to run these side by side, the Switch and the 3DS, because they're quite different machines? Or do you think that the Switch will just phase out the 3DS?
No, I think it's still got a good few years on it yet.
Yeah?
I think it could go the way of the Vita, in which the Vita's still going. There's still games coming out, but there's like one every 2 months. And, you know, you can't really... If you're a fan of the Vita, you're not sat there waiting for new releases, but you're still playing it. And there's loads of great 3DS games, so it's not like they'll just get rid of it entirely, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think they'll probably step down production of games on it, and they'll just focus on like one or two big releases every year, because it's not just Nintendo making games for it, it's also all the other third-party developers, and they're sort of switching over to the Switch as well from the 3DS. So it's probably got another couple of good years on it, but it'll probably just sort of quietly go away but still be supported, is my theory behind it.
And it's not even like there's a huge budget difference between the two in terms of like the pricing of games, because new 3DS games are £35, you know, plus, and so are Switch games. So it's not like it's the budget version for people with less money. Just buying the console is a little bit cheaper, but the actual software is all the same, really. And especially with the Switch and the expansion of the eStore, and they say that in their briefing, Nintendo, that they're dealing with, or they're classifying digital downloads slightly differently because now it's become such a huge part of the business. And this is the same for everybody, for Sony and everyone else, that like the PSN and Xbox Live account for such a massive portion of the financials nowadays, versus people buying boxes with discs in them.
Ugh.
I mean, I have to get off my sofa and walk 4.5 feet. Nah, not having it, mate.
you joke, but I will literally spend an extra £20 on a game just so I don't have to stand up.
I won't. I still flip between the two. But I do like the digital stuff. It does make great sense, obviously. However, they point out the bit we're interested in. However, the bit we're interested in is the mobile stuff specifically. And they make reference to it, and they say that like Super Mario Run's got 20 million players, a player base at any one time. So it seems to be like the flagship thing that everyone is carrying on downloading and coming to fresh every month, a whole bunch of new users. And they don't make much mention about Animal Crossing. And I didn't realize this, and it's been looked into since, that like Animal Crossing Pocket Camp kind of underperformed versus something like Fire Emblem Heroes, which was the free-to-play release that came before it. So that's brought in 86 million Fire Emblem Heroes, whereas Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, only 20 million.
Are those official figures from Nintendo?
Apparently, yes.
Huh.
When I'm saying it made 86, it made 20 million, that's the first 2 months reading. So that's like comparing Fire Emblem's first 8 weeks to comparing Animal Crossing. So right, obviously okay. They've made much more subsequently, but they kind of shy away from mentioning anything about it. The overriding thing that they say, which brought it to our attention, I'll quote them directly, is the efforts we've made to date have yielded certain responses to our goal of expanding the number of people who have access to Nintendo IP. This is about bringing it onto mobile. Even so, we've not reached a satisfactory profit point yet. So our goal is to further expand the scale of the business and develop it into one of the pillars of revenue. Which some people have taken as like a kind of forecast of doom and gloom, or say that everything's underperforming. But, I mean, they've only released like 4 games or something? 3-4 games?
Yeah. I think they've got like a little while to go before they kind of realise where their key market stands.
Hmm. It seems a little bit preemptive for people to sort of, I say, forecast doom and gloom, because you've got Pokemon Go, amazing success off the back of that. Super Mario Run, I imagine, would have been downloaded more if it had been free to play, but also would have angered a whole bunch of people in the process. So, you know, they tried that model. Fire Emblem Heroes seems to have done very well. Animal Crossing less so, for whatever reason. I mean, I didn't play it much, but, you know, it didn't take off in quite the same way Fire Emblem did. And now they're a way to work on, you know, the upcoming Mario Kart game and all of that. And that's going to be huge.
Yeah, plus they've got their new original IP coming out with Cygames as well.
Which one's that?
Dragalia
something?
Yeah, Dragalia Lost. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, it's only been going really for 2 years. I mean, when did Super Mario Run come out? Was it 2016?
December 15th, 2016.
Was it
Miitomo like December 2015 or something like that?
Yeah.
Although we don't talk about Miitomo.
We're not counting that. That's not a game. That was just them collecting our data so they can... Yeah,
Miitomo dies this month, doesn't it?
Yeah, it dies on the 9th, I think.
I'm going to say next week.
Mm. I'm pretty sure. Man. What a shame.
I will be mourning it greatly.
No one will be mourning the loss of that. But, yeah, I find it weird because people have jumped on the headline and obviously seen it as a very negative thing. I don't think it is. I think that maybe Animal Crossing not doing well is odd, because it is, as I understand it, a pretty big IP for them, and does very well and is a huge fan base on the DS and the 3DS. So they obviously didn't quite crack that in the same way that they did with Fire Emblems. Didn't translate as well. People weren't buying leaves, or maybe it was too generous.
Just because the game is fairly like, the first couple of hours you spend with it is fine. You know, you're going around collecting things, but eventually it just gets repetitive and really boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many characters to talk to, and I just don't care.
That's the game, isn't it? I mean...
The other thing is that it doesn't really encourage you to spend money either, which is good, because you can't... Well, you know, unless you look at certain articles on the internet which say, oh, it's terrorizing children by making us buy... encouraging us to buy expensive things to buy these characters. You don't need to do any of that. Like, yeah, it doesn't...
This isn't Hogwarts Mystery.
No, it doesn't, and it doesn't improve your game in any way. It doesn't make you better if you buy certain items. It's literally just cosmetic stuff. And that's never really sold particularly well, I think.
I think you're right, because the cosmetic stuff, it doesn't gate it in quite the same way. And there's maybe not quite the same desire or drive to continue, whereas Fire Emblem is a competitive thing in a much more direct way, rather than just, what's your sofa? Have you got a better sofa than me? Oh, I need a better sofa now. So yeah, obviously we'll continue to watch Nintendo do well, and other people say that maybe they won't, because they always seem to defy expectations, the mad buggers. Although, not if GameVice has their way. GameVice is going to try and sink the company in the entire Switch, because they had a lawsuit a while back criticizing the Switch design as ripping off theirs. So before the Nintendo Switch, before there was that, oh, it's a tablet, and what you do is you bolt two controllers on the side of it with little joysticks on them and you play games. You go back to things like the GameVice, which was a very, very similar design that came out years before, which was just an Android tablet with two controllers bolted on the side, blah, blah, blah. So they turned around and threw a lawsuit at Nintendo and said, you've copied us with this. It didn't take. I think it got thrown out. But they're coming back again. So rather than focusing on the entire design and trying to throw a lawsuit at that, they are focusing now instead on just the Joy-Cons. So the two controllers, and saying this idea of a Joy-Con, a controller that then clips into the side of an Android tablet, that is copyright infringement, and now you must stop selling Switches and importing Switches.
I mean, you can't knock them for trying.
Well, what I assume they want to get from this is a settlement. Isn't that what they're... I mean, they're not actually... There's no way that they could win against Nintendo. So if they keep going and going and going, presumably they're hoping Nintendo will at some point go, look, all right, we'll settle this out of court. Here, have X amount of money and go away.
I mean, that's the only reason you keep doing it, surely, because the legal fees are going to be enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be absolutely crazy.
If any judge even looks at it and goes, this is a legitimate case that I'm willing to put on to trial.
Exactly.
It's madness.
And they genuinely are trying to stop the Nintendo Switch from being imported and sold in the United States. That's their goal. And that's not going to happen, guys. So it's either the judge dismisses it and they keep tackling this from every angle, or Nintendo just goes, for God's sake, flip him a quarter and say, go away. I don't think anything's going to come of it, to be quite honest with you. I understand the feeling of like seeing something you've made that you thought was an original idea and then have someone come along and be incredibly successful where you maybe weren't so successful with something very similar. And I cite 2048, that game that ripped off Threes and did incredibly well, while Threes didn't do anywhere near as well. But I think it's one of that, it's the classic problem of like, how do you copyright like a controller? Because you know, it's just like the Xbox One and the PS4 controller, you know, they're the same thing, really. It's just all you've got is the analog sticks are at slightly different angles. That's it.
Yeah, and also there's the case to be made that, like, the Joy-Cons may look the same, but they have different functions to GameVice's stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you've got HD Rumble, you've got motion controls, you've got infrared sensors, etc., etc.
Hmm, I guess. So, yes, good luck with that, guys. You're definitely, definitely going to need it. And about this week, let's start with Paladin Strike, which I haven't played, but you have a bit, Rick.
I have, yes. I played a couple of games this morning.
What do?
It is a MOBA, so isometric, run around a arena, shoot other people. But because it's Paladins, which is a shooter, I believe, slash MOBA, you have to shoot things with guns instead, or shoot things with lightning, or shoot things with other things. But basically, you have to shoot things.
Okay.
Typically in MOBAs, on mobile at least, you would highlight somebody and then you would hit the attack button until they died. Because this is a shooting game, instead you have to target them. So you have like a little circle in the bottom right-hand corner, and then you can point in the direction you want to start shooting, and then you'll just start firing in that direction. It's a bit like Brawl Stars.
So like dual-stick shooter kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Although obviously it's a MOBA as well, so there's certain rules. You can only do it 3 times, then you have to recharge your meter and all this kind of stuff.
Okay.
And you can't, like, cancel out of your shots, so you just sort of have to keep firing in whatever direction you've started shooting in. So that it's quite kind of twiddly in that sort of way, and it's very difficult to get used to, because I've played a lot of Vainglory and Arena of Valor and stuff like that, and they have long-range characters, but you just sort of tap a target and then hit the attack button a lot. Yeah. Whereas this requires actual precision to get the job done. So it's a bit twiddly in that front, but I actually quite like it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So they've changed how you sort of progress. Usually you would level up. There's no leveling in this. You just kind of hit a point and then you can choose from one of two buffs, but you don't unlock, like, you can't level up and unlock abilities. You just have all your abilities from the start, which I think is really interesting.
Oh, wow.
It's not always kill the towers. It's take the objective and then push the payload, sort of like you're playing Overwatch kind of thing, which is kind of cool. And it's very quick. It's fast paced. It sort of throws you in and gives you everything you need to get killing and stuff like that. I don't know if I'm going to keep playing it. I think it's a bit too fiddly for me, but I'm sure there's people out there who can absolutely love it.
I suppose the risk, if they give you everything up front, is that it's great at the beginning, but then there's less impetus to come back because you're not, you know, unlocking as much stuff. But yeah, I guess, I mean, if you're getting buffs.
you unlock new characters and stuff, and there's all that kind of thing. So you start with 5 characters, which is a nice sort of spread of different stuff. But you can buy and earn more characters as you play, and there's all sorts of gacha boxes and stuff like that for getting extra skins and all this kind of nonsense like that.
I see.
Still got all the usual sort of free-to-play trappings of a MOBA, but it's just the core gameplay is wildly different to what even people might be used to. So I think if people who sort of played MOBAs and go, I don't like it because you just sort of hit a thing and then you auto-attack and then you win, this requires a lot more actual, you need to be there.
Right,
which is kind of cool. Although, I noticed that if you're not there, an AI will take over for you for a brief period until it kicks you out, which is really useful if you have to, like, run and answer the door or something. So
that is good. To get giant...
custard
creams, that's what you got, yeah. Rick just got a delivery. Cool, so that's Paladin Strike. And that's out, I guess, App Store and Google Play, almost certainly, right?
Hmm.
Along with Dungeon Hunter Champions, which is the one I've played most of this week. I've played a couple of hours of this. And it's going to really annoy people who like the first Dungeon Hunter games because it ain't that game no more, y'all. So Dungeon Hunter started out life as Gameloft's Diablo imitation. You know, so it was all running around dungeons and grindy, and it was a premium thing, but it was, you know, scaled and leveled in a way that was premium and didn't lock you out and no energy timers and all that stuff. Now, it's, especially this one, is a big fusion of everything, I guess, that is currently popular. So it is in a similar vein to what you were just describing, actually. So it's, you've got a little team, you're running around, it's a very small area, you've got people spawning in, the levels are tiny and short. You do have the option to autoplay if you want to, where it'll play for you, but the majority of the game is isometric, running around, shooty. You've got a whole cluster of attack buttons in the bottom right-hand corner, so you can shoot. You do need to actually run up to people and attack them. You can do it automatically, but you also have to be present if you want to get involved. You can aim your area effect spells, or you can likewise do the same thing with your arrows if you're playing the ranger character, for example. The levels are very different, so it'll move between the standard run and kill and run and kill and run and kill. Then it switches to an arena mode in some of them, so you're just fighting against other characters around the world. So as in, like, real other players, but not necessarily in real time. You're just fighting their characters, which are leveled up to their standard, so asymmetrical. You've then got chase a bad guy down because he's running and doing loads of damage ahead of you. You've got run away from a bad guy as well who's pursuing you manically. You've got big boss battles. It's quite varied. You've even got MOBA bits where suddenly it goes, hey, you've got 3 towers and protect the tower, and you're controlling little armies that are coming around after you. So it's sort of doing everything, all the genres at once. It's also got that collectible aspect where there are loads and loads and loads of heroes you can collect. You can have a maximum of 4 on your party any one time, and the slots unlock over time.
Is it any fun?
Well, it kind of is, on a very surface level. Like, I think it's the problem of, and Em, you mentioned it earlier, like, having played the Hogwarts Mystery game, all free-to-play seems a lot more generous than it used to.
Maybe that was the idea.
But it's unfairly skewed, because that game is so incredibly harsh and, you know, unpleasant with it. So this, like, oh, I've been playing for, like, 2 hours and nothing stopped me, whereas, like, the Hogwarts Mystery is like, I've been playing for 5 minutes and now the fun must end. So I played for ages, like, without having to recharge or anything. And it's incredibly slick looking. It cannot be overstated how good this game looks. This is Gameloft, and they've been doing their thing for a long time, and they've got budget and whatnot. Even though they've been closing some studios, clearly they still have some money. And so the action takes place on kind of isolated islands, and when you complete it, then the rubble kind of forms a bridge to the next island, so stuff will fly in from off the screen. It looks so nice, and it's all like fancy lighting and flashy things exploding everywhere and loads of enemies on screen and beautifully animated character designs with way too much cleavage and jiggle physics, but whatever.
Jesus Christ.
So it's done incredibly well, and it's trying to hit every single box. Kind of like, we're a bit of a MOBA and we're a bit of a grindy classic RPG, and oh no, we're running away from something like an autorunner, and oh no, now it's a PvP arena battler, and it's like, it's everything and sort of nothing. And it does it all very competently. It's a lot of stuff we've seen before, just with a load of polish on it. It's a bit repetitive and grindy, obviously. I think it's going to do quite well, because it just the slickness of it and they're trying to be all things to all people. It will appeal to a broad number at the beginning. I think people who are hardcore into the original Dungeon Hunter game are going to be very put off, because it is not Diablo or anything approaching it anymore. And yes, it's all energy systems and collecting loads of gear and leveling up the individual bits of gear with money and gems, and there's all different currencies, and there's all that baggage you'd expect. So, yeah, I think it'll do okay. I think it'll do pretty well with a bunch of people, but if you've been following the Dragon? If you've been following the Dungeon Hunter series, I think a lot of people might tap out at this one. Have a look at the video review, which should be up now as you listen to this. Em, what have you been playing?
Again, I'm kind of taking a whack at some free-to-play ones.
Okay.
One of which was Agent Wonky.
Yeah, I saw this on the list. This looks mental. What is it?
Oh, it's just really hard, man.
Okay.
It's like, it's just a, like a little arcade, not even side-scrolling, it's side-swiping, mm-hmm. as it were. You're Agent Wonky, you're a guy in the middle, and then either side of you, you've got people coming in to attack you.
Okay.
And you shoot them by responding to the arrows on screen above the character.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so sounds complicated, but it's okay. If it's got a green arrow, then you match, like you swipe in the direction the arrow is going,
uh-huh.
or tap, as it were. But if it's red, you've got to swipe in the opposite direction.
Oh.
Yeah, this is where I was like, I was playing it this morning. I was like, oh my god, my head is not ready.
My brain just threw up in my skull. That's horrible. Yeah.
And like some of them, they come either side of you. So you're kind of swiping at different times. If it's green, you've got to go in the right direction. If it's red, you've got to do the opposite direction. There's no leeway in it either. So if you get it wrong, you just die.
Mm.
So the whole idea is that it's short and sweet, but you've got to try and survive as long as possible. I think I've gotten like 12 points so far.
Okies.
So it's hard. And then like if you, some of them have just like dots over their heads, so you've got to tap on screen when you see them, but mm-hmm. they run at you really quickly. And then it's just, it's the chameleon run thing all over again. It seems really easy, but God, your brain just tells you different things.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. It's done that super like low poly blocky style as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a brain fryer. That's how I would describe it.
Lovely. Well, it's free to play, isn't it? You can get that. It's just on the App Store at the minute, not on Google Play.
Mm.
But okay, Agent Wonky is the name of that one. What else have we got here? Spike City. Rick, you had a bash at that, didn't you?
Yeah, briefly. It's a Nitrome game.
Hey!
Which I'm fairly certain will tell you everything you need to know about it. if you like Nitrome, you
yes,
will like this.
Version of the Nitrome formula? Are things going up or are things going down?
This time you're going up. But sometimes right. you're also going to the sides. And sometimes you Ooh. Need to go down a bit. So okay. basically, so you swipe in a direction and then you fly off in that direction until you hit a wall. Okay. You've got a spike on your head, which doesn't really do anything. It just looks neat.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to navigate these areas, and there's enemies in the way, and there's blocks that you have to go through in a certain direction. So if it's got a left arrow on it, you have to go through it to the left. And if you mm-hmm. try to go the other way, it blocks you. But it uses that to quite clever ways, so like if you fly into it, then you can move to a certain area and fly up and pick up coins. So it kind of twists with its own formula neatly. It's a Nitrome game. There's not really much else you can say.
No, we say that in a you'll say that slightly kind of jokey, sarky way, but it's actually a badge of quality, the yeah. Nitrome games, because they do this thing where they hammer out loads of these very small games based along relatively similar lines, but they're all of a standard and very good little iterations.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, it plays well, it is definitely worth looking into.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to go back to it. I've only played it once, and then I was like, I really want to go again, but I've got so many other games to quickly rush through before I do the podcast.
Yes, exactly. So Spike City is the name of that one, and that's both App Store and Google Play, depending on your platform. I've had a go at Axe.io. It's part of the... I think they're all released by different people, right? The .io suffix is just like... And people use it for some reason. What it actually is, weirdly, is it's like... Imagine a battle arena-style brawler or any of those... I mean, I guess it's influenced by things like the Snake.io, whatever it's called, where it's just loads and loads and loads and loads of people. Again, like the battle arena game. So, say, 50 people, and you got to kill them and survive. You take one hit and you die. But imagine it's set in the universe of God of War... And it's isometric, and it's got one of those really spiky, low-poly art styles. So you're running around with loads of other of these Viking-looking dudes, Norse-looking dudes, and you got an axe, and you throw the axe. So that's what you can do. Twin sticks, you run around and you see someone else coming at you. You throw the axe is in a straight line, takes a little while to go, so you got to aim slightly ahead of them. And then if you hit them, great, they're out. You move up the ranking. If you don't, the axe sticks in the floor or into a wall or whatever. You then have to run over and reclaim the axe before you can do anything. So that's quite nice. It's always like, missed, damn, because now I'm vulnerable and I have to run up and grab it before I can go back into attacking. The only buttons you have are the ability to throw the axe and the ability to roll, and the roll takes a little while to recharge. That's it. It's all it is. It's sort of dead simple. There are some different modes where you can play against like six people in a small group, or I think you can go one-on-one, but also there's the big 50-player kind of, you know, battle royale thing. It's actually all right from the little time that I spent with it. I liked the gamble of I throw, damn, I'm now, I just have to run around and avoid everything till I get my axe back. That's quite a nice touch. And like those battle royale games, when you get killed, you know, three in, you immediately restart. And then when you get to like the last 10 and you die, you're like, damn it! So it does, you know, engender a bit of a reaction, which is kind of good. So maybe worth having a look. Nothing special, but, you know, worth a look. I also played Lazaretto, which I'll only talk about briefly because it was only, I don't know if it was an early test flight build or something that I've got, but it's supposed to come out this week. I don't know if it's actually come out yet.
I think it came out this morning.
Brilliant. All right, then. So this is valid. It is a indie first-person horror survival game, which, as we were discussing, Em, comes from the camp of your Slender Man and your Outlast and any game where you're a person with no weapons with a torch wandering around decrepit areas getting spooked by things going in the background. And it's kind of bobbins. Like, it's everything I've seen before, you know, of this horrible, nasty, rusty, slimy walls and wandering about. But it's a bit... I clipped through the walls and entered non-space on a number of occasions, so that wasn't very good, and not very much tension. It doesn't look very good, and it doesn't, you know, it's, I don't think it's a particularly good version of that thing.
Was it as good as Granny?
Yes, which I also played this week, because I thought I should. Well, it's like really high in the charts. Like, it's got like 42,000 5-star reviews on the App Store. People love Granny. They're mad for it. Which is a game, if you haven't played it, came out like 2 months ago, and you're locked in a house and you wake up and Granny's wandering around the house. So she's the alien in Alien Isolation, where, you know, once she hears you, she comes straight for your location, so you need to run or hide under a bed or hide in a bookcase or something. And if she catches you, that's it, you're dead, game over, and you've got to try and escape the house because the front door is all locked. So visit rooms, find things, get out. It's, well, rubbish. And Granny looks rubbish, and it's all rubbish. But it's done such good business on the App Store. People really love it, because it's just based on the jump scare of you, like, making a noise when you're on the floorboards and go, damn, I don't know if she saw me. Then you go hunting through something, and then suddenly she's behind you. The game whips around. She goes, wah, poof, and batters you with a baseball bat. So that's the thrill of it. But, like... No, it's not good, but people seem to love it. So
just as my grandma always used to do when I visited. I know, chase me around the house with a baseball bat.
Stop stealing my giant, what are they, cream biscuits?
Giant custard creams.
Custard creams, there you go. I can always forget the name of them.
My grandma never had custard creams.
It's because you stole them all. You bastard.
If my grandma's listening to this, I love you dearly. Also, how did you get on the internet?
I would love it if your grandma listens to mobile gaming podcasts. That is well niche.
I don't think she does. I don't think she even knows what a mobile game is. Why am I being so rude about my grandma? She's like 70.
I'm going to make her listen to this now. If you are part of the best generation and you're listening to this podcast because you play mobile games, then fair play to you, and we love you, and you're our best listener. Not long now. Who else has played a thing? Em, you played another thing, didn't you? What's it called? Illu.
Yes, which is a free-to-play puzzler, which is all grid-based. And you've got to figure out how to spread more flora by spreading light.
Mm.
It sounds really weird. Like, if you look it up and you watch the trailer, and if you play it as well, it makes sense.
So you're tapping to activate these tiles, turning them from black to yellow. And in doing so, that once the level's completed, it kind of poof, and everything blossoms into life.
Yeah, but can you see the dots that are sort of scattered around
the space. Yeah, yeah.
You've got to try and figure out how to activate all of those dots without overlapping with already lit tiles.
I got you. So you're tapping them in the right order and tapping everything so that you don't get an overlap and you can don't leave a single black spot on the map.
Yeah, yeah. And it's good. I've played through a fair few levels so far. I didn't get thrown up with an advert or anything, so I couldn't quite understand where their monetization is coming from until I went on to their little options menu.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you get a certain amount of turns before you have to watch an advert, which is fair. That's all sort of standard. And actually, I remember like looking at it this morning and being like, oh, it's actually really ridiculously generous. But I think it might just be because Hogwarts Mystery was such massive trash.
Everything's just been skewed. It's like how like, politics has shifted so much to the right now because of everything.
Because of Harry
Potter.
Isn't
it all bad?
But yeah, yes, that's exactly what I was saying.
Hogwarts Mystery is why Trump exists.
But at the time of me finishing, I had 17 ad skips remaining. So you can either watch an ad or skip an ad to continue playing. I haven't actually had an ad yet, and I've played like 18 levels.
That's pretty good.
I think completely to buy the whole game is $7.99 for infinite puzzles and no ads.
I see.
But it doesn't seem like it's particularly invasive, which I'm kind of like, I'm going to sink more time into it a bit later because I'll review it over on 148.
Well, it's got a ton of good reviews. It's doing very well on the App Store.
Well, it's just really weird. Like, I kind of expected it to be, oh, every few puzzles you get an ad, something like that. But it's literally uninterrupted for me so far.
Very nice. No, I'll play this. I like these kind of puzzlers, and it looks really nicely
done. This is my little find of the week, because I'm very delighted with it.
Wicked. All right, ILU, as Em says, ILU is what it's called. Go find that on the App Store right now. It's in the strategy charts at the minute. Sweet. All right, there's lots of interesting stuff to take a look at this week. Thank you all for listening, as always. I will be back next week, but then I'll be going away to San Francisco for Pokegamer Connects. I'll see you there if you're coming. So the week after's podcasts might be a little bit up in the air, as it always is, because I will be on long haul flights and such like, but we'll see what we can do. But we will be back next week, so do join us then for more mobile gaming madness. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.